Look at your neighbor and say, you look good today. Come on. My friend from the great city of Albion, New York, Pastor Randy, is here. Would you stand up and give Pastor Randy from the Albion Free Methodist Church in Albion a big God bless you? Come on, give him a big God bless you. Love you, guy. Glad you're here. You better amen me big. Okay. It's always just a privilege to share God's word. And I want to remind each one of you this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sanctuary will be open from noon till 7. I'm going to share just a few thoughts on prayer today that I hope will inspire you and encourage you to want to be a part, to come in and pray for some. I really felt the Lord lay on my heart that some, you're going to make this like a part of your life this week in a big way. Maybe for some, you'll just move in here for 3 days and you'll just you'll pray all day. I felt God was going to do something extraordinary in somebody's life. For some of you, maybe it's coming in and just walking around the sanctuary. We're going to have this table set up. You can write out your prayer requests, put them up on that board, and we're going to have a tray for communion as well. So through the week, you can come in, partake in communion, spend a few moments in prayer. Let's see God do something great. We're in a new season, both in the natural and in the spiritual. Then this Thursday, Pastor Tim DeLena, he's in the top five of the greatest communicators that I have ever heard. He will be here. And I just pray that you will adjust your schedule and make it for this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. This next Sunday, on your way out today, there will be some guys that will give you some little invite cards for Back to Church Sunday, which is next Sunday. I just really hope that you'll invite somebody that maybe you normally would have. And you don't know that somebody could be looking to you for the invitation that they have never gotten from anybody else. And you can put that in their hand. Don't leave it. Don't just lay it down somewhere. Put it in somebody's hand. And then the following Thursday, my son Ryan will be ordained here. And I've got leaders from all over the region calling me, and they're going to be here for that. It's going to be a super September together. Amen? Be great. Oh, clap if you're going to clap. Don't mess around. This is a happy place. Okay, so I want to share two things before the message. I got three messages today, but two, they're just small. Number one, I got an email from myself this week asking for money, and it wasn't me. And I just want to meet the person that does that. That's like me going home and I'm going to go into bed and somebody, a stranger, is laying, they're sitting in my bedroom. It's just strange to me. Somebody sent me an email from me, and how many others? A guy sent me a message this week. He said, I think somebody's hacked your name. I say all that to say, be cautious. I'm never going to send you, you know, this personal, like, sly little email saying, send me money. That's not me. I'm going to ask you for it while we're in the church. Or if you're questionable about it, ask somebody else. Find out about it. But don't get caught up in scams, because they are everywhere. Everywhere. GoFundMe pages. How many of you saw in the news where the well-hearted couple met a veteran and they decided that they were going to open a GoFundMe page for him for $10,000 to help him with his needs. They raised $400,000, and then they didn't want to give the guy the money. I've seen people start GoFundMe pages and put the city church's name in it to raise money and to get well-hearted people to give, and it had nothing to do with the work of the Lord. Amen, Pastor. If you see something and you question it, just ask. Don't get caught up in the scam like that. And even I'm going to just take it a step further. I love all of you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he really does love us. If somebody comes up to you in the church and says, I got to have $100 or else, you could be sowing into their detriment, not into their future. Which leads me into my second little thought here. All you still love me so far? You love me? I'm just trying to help, and I want to protect those that, some people, you got the heart as big as outdoors, but money is not the answer to everybody's issue. Stewardship is the answer to people's issue. Amen. So the second thought is the drug-inflicted deaths. I sat with the head of the Jocasa last week. He said it looks like Genesee County will be the number one county in the state for drug-related deaths. Is that amazing? That four happened in just the last week. And one happened where a young man and a woman were together. They both OD'd. The woman was able to Narcan her boyfriend before he died, only for her to die right there in the middle of it. I say this to you this morning because, just wishing it would go away does not make it go away. Criticizing and complaining will not make it go away. Standing on the sidelines saying, what's wrong with these people? They get what they deserve. You can say that until it happens in your own home or your family. And we need to show compassion and love to everyone and let them know there is a better way. I say all that to say this. If you are in the throes of drug addiction, whether it's pills, whether it's heroin, and by the way, if you or you know someone who is using heroin, the fentanyl that is being mixed in with the mix of heroin right now, it's not a question of if, you will die from it. Hear that right now. There is no question about it. You will die from it. So if you know somebody or if you're in it, there's no condemnation. Just want to help you. Want to lift you up. Want to show you a better way. Want to help you out of that. And give you some tools so that you can be what you're created to be. There's too many young lives that are being wasted. Yeah, there's some misguided people. They've made some mistakes. They're doing something. And we can look at them and say, they're dumb. They're stupid. They shouldn't have done that. You say all that you want. But people said that about me one time, and they said it about most of you that are out here, whether you want to admit it or not. And by the grace of God, God comes into our lives and he transforms us and changes us into the image of his son. And God gives each one of us another chance, doesn't he? I should hear a better amen than that this morning. He gives us a better chance. So let's continually help our community. Let's help our region. Let's get involved. If you know of somebody that's going through that, just reach out to me. I don't have all the answers, but I'm in a group where I know a lot of people that do have answers, and we can help and push people in that direction so that they can find the best that God has for them. And, I'm all for whatever type of recovery works, but I'm going to tell you the ultimate recovery that will work in every person's life, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That when he comes into your heart, the Bible says old things are passed away, and behold, he begins to make all things brand new again. Nothing will change a life like an experience with Jesus in your heart. Amen? Okay, that's the first two. Now let me get down to what I really wanted to talk to you. I want to talk to you just for a few moments today about a regular practice of prayer in your life. I believe that we're not only in a new season naturally, but for many of you, it's a new season spiritually as well. It's a time that you and I can set apart before the Lord on a regular basis, come before him and begin to pray and find out answers that we don't even understand. And we live in a culture, even within the church, that we have a tendency not to look to prayer until we're in the right in the throes of the most serious needs and deficiencies within our life. And God says, to call upon me, I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things you know not of. But we shouldn't wait until we're in that situation. In fact, when we do pray, God will give us insight of what's coming in our future and help us to go in a healthier way and keep us from being hurt and going through pain. And it comes through stopping, taking time, and setting apart time in our lives to converse with God and to let him know that we are there for him to speak to us and for us also to speak to him. Do you know our times in prayer are not just for us to bring a laundry list of what we want God to do for us? If you were here last Thursday night, our own Brad T. gave an incredible message about the bullseye, being on point, being in the place. And many times we get way off over here and say, God, I'm over here. Come help, come and do this for me. When he wants us to get in the center of his will and do and be a part of what he is doing. And I really believe with all my heart when I was writing this out that when we do that, we will experience some landmark experiences in our lives when we pray that God has created for us to experience. I can think of some of the greatest moments in my life that when I prayed that God did these things for me that had I not prayed, had I not paused to spend time with God, I never would have seen them come to pass. And I believe with all my heart that if you and I will set our lives for a time of prayer, that we will see things that we have never seen. We will be exposed to things that we have never been exposed to. We will see impossible things come to pass in our lives that we never thought could happen. And many people want prayer, and they want others to pray for them. And I'm all for it. But there comes a time when you and I, we have to stop and have that real encounter with the living God. And let me also say this, that prayer and spirituality has nothing to do with the false spirituality that is going on in our culture. When the psychic fair comes to town, God has nothing to do with what's going on in that. And I want to encourage, because I've had people, well-meaning people in church, come to me. They come right to the altar and say, well, I went to the psychic fair so I could meet with so-and-so and they could help me speak to my mother or my aunt or my grandmother. And that is that's from hell itself. Amen, Pastor. Thank you. Isaiah 8:19, he says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? And the enemy will clothe himself to make you think that you are really having these experiences with the dead. And nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the enemy will lead you down a dark black hole and cause calamity, heartache, and destruction to come upon your life. Because the Bible says, give no foothold for the devil. Let me tell you something. You give him a crack like that, he's coming in like a semi-trailer. Don't give him any hold. Don't expose yourself to it. If you got things in your house that have anything to do with that, clean out your house. Get rid of that junk. I didn't say this in the first service, somebody needs to hear this today. If you have the propensity to go and do that, or that's a part of your life, you come down for prayer afterwards. I want to pray for you so that God will free you from that. Because the enemy will use that to destroy your life. I want to share with you in the Bible some instances. I just want to share. And she's going to just be doing this over here. I love this girl and her family and her brand new little baby. They're beautiful and she's so gifted and talented. And she has an art studio at St. Anthony's called Liberty Arts. If you're interested, just talk to her about it. Let me give you some instances in the Bible where God answers prayer. Number one, I love the story about Hannah and her infertility. It caused her to pray for her son. Many of you know the story. She's the unfortunate barren second wife in this marriage. Now, don't any of you men go thinking, hey, this sounds good in the Bible. It didn't work for Elkanah. It won't work for you either. She's barren. In fact, the Bible says that God closed up her womb. You can read it in 1 Samuel. And the Bible says that Hannah pleaded with God for a son. In 1 Samuel 1:11, it says, she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And then she says this Nazarite vow at the end, and no razor will ever be used on his head. You know the story that she became pregnant. The Bible says that she was in the house of God and she was praying. Eli, who was a wicked priest at the time, looked over at her, saw her mouth moving, and said, how long are you going to be drunk in the house of God? She said, don't you know I'm praying to God for a need in my heart? And the Bible says that she gave birth to Samuel, and Samuel was one of the greatest prophets in the history of Israel and communicated the heart of God, because when she prayed for God not only to give her a son, she said, when you give me the son, I will give him back to you. And every parent, every person in here, when you have children, if you'll give them to God, God will use them in a powerful way. The Bible went on to say that not only Hannah had Samuel, but she had three more sons and two daughters. When you give to God, God will give back to you. Second prayer is, and I love this, this is Peter's imprisonment for preaching the gospel. And the Bible says that the church begins to gather together and pray for his release. I love this story. King Herod, he arrests Peter, puts him in prison. Acts 12:5 says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The church, a group of people gathered together in the house. The Bible says when they began to pray, while Peter was in prison, that the angel of God went to him while he was in the prison cell, led him out through the doors, past the guards, and led him to Mary's house where everybody was praying. And I love this story that when she went and she opened up the door, saw Peter standing there, he goes, hey, how you doing? Thanks for praying for me. She slams the door in his face and runs back and says to everybody, you won't believe it. God answered my prayer and Peter's outside. I wondered what everybody thought. I was telling Aaron this week. I said, this reminds me of you. You would do that thing. You would walk to the door. You would open it up. She'd go, oh, my God, Peter. Slam the door in his face. But I believe that for some of you this week, if you will stop and set a time for prayer, that God will answer that prayer before you walk out the doors of this building. Oh, I believe that with all of my heart. He will do something remarkable that will surprise your life. The third place is Jerusalem is under siege. And the Bible says that Hezekiah, he begins to pray for his people. King Sennacherib had laid siege, the Bible says, to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that King Hezekiah told his people to pray for the deliverance from their enemy. This is so powerful. In 2 Kings 19:19, the Bible simply says Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. He says, now, Lord, deliver us from his hand, all that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are Lord and that you are God. I like this whole story. The Bible says that God hears his prayer. The angel of the Lord comes down and kills 85,000 enemy soldiers with one swipe that night. Man, that is some manly stuff right there. Not only did that happen, but it compelled the rest of the army to turn, hide, and run because they were afraid. If 85,000 died, we're next. We better get out of here. Let me tell you something. Whenever God's people. You don't have to fight in your own strength. You don't have to get angry with somebody. You don't have to take it, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get back at them. No, you don't have to. If you'll find your place on your knees and begin to pray, God will fight your battle for you. He'll take care of that situation. He'll go before you. He'll do the battle work on your behalf. And all you got to do is pray about it today. Amen. Number four, Jairus asked Jesus to heal his daughter who is about to die. Jairus, a synagogue ruler, he risks his position by making a request to Jesus in front of everyone. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 23, he said he pleads earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Jesus did what he does to most of us. He's on the way. He gets distracted. He's praying for another woman. And before he gets to Jairus' house, his little girl dies. But you see, and this is so important for somebody to hear this morning, Jesus is always up to a bigger answer than what you prayed for. He goes into that house. He sees the little daughter that's dead. He tells Jairus only to believe. He not only goes in there, he raises that dead little girl back to life. I want to tell you something today. He is a God that will do exceeding and abundantly above anything that you could even ask or what you think. When you pray this week or in the future, when you ask God for something, can I tell you something? He's not only about answering what you need, but he's got something bigger planned to show you his miraculous power to do exceeding and beyond anything that you could even ask or think when you pray. And I just believe that someone's here today. You're struggling with something in your life. You feel like it's dead. It's over. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a dream in your life. You've just given up on it. You've walked away from. But I'm going to tell you something. When you pray and you ask God, God will breathe on that thing. He will bring life to that dead thing. And he will cause some hope to come back into you. Come on today. Do you believe that? Romans 4:17, God, he gives life to dead things and calls those things that don't even exist as though they do. God is in the business this week that when you and I pray, there's something that's not even there that he is working out on your behalf. God, if it's not there, one of the literal meanings of this, if it's not there, he'll create it to be there. Man, I love that. He's going to create something for you to have today. I mean, who am I talking to? You've been desiring to have a business. You've been desiring to have a family. You've been desiring to get married. And you don't know how it's going to happen. Can I tell you that when you pray, God is working it all out. He's making it happen in the heavenlies. And he will deposit it into your realm, into your life, right before your eyes. Man, I love that. Number five, the Bible says Hezekiah praise because God tells him he's going to die. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a message from God that I'm looking to hear. The Bible says he sends Isaiah to him to tell him, you're in trouble, you're going to die. And you know what the Bible says? That Hezekiah, he begins to pray. In 2 Kings 20, verse 3, remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully with a whole heart, devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And the Bible says in Hezekiah, then he weeps bitterly. Before Isaiah, the one who delivered the word to him, before he gets out of the house, God said, Isaiah, stop right there. I just heard Hezekiah pray. I wonder if Hezekiah had prayed before that. I wonder if he'd spent any time before the Lord. Because when he did, God says, stop. I want you to turn around. Go tell him in verse 5 and 6. He says, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I'm going to heal you. And he's not only going to do that. He says, I'm going to give you 15 more years to your life. You're not as excited about that as I am when I read that. God says, you're going to die. Hezekiah prays. God hears him. And what's God do? He changes his mind. You, this week, and every day for that fact, when you pray, you can literally change the hand of God in your life. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe me. You can look in the Bible. It says it right there. Hezekiah, Isaiah, go tell Hezekiah he's going to die. Hezekiah prays. Wait a minute, Isaiah. Okay, I heard his prayer. I saw his tears. He really means it. Stop. Turn around. Tell him he's not going to die now. Even though I said just a few minutes before he was going to die, I've changed my mind. Now he's not going to. In fact, tell him now, mark it on his calendar, he's got 15 more years. That's God giving you and I a second chance. That's God changing his mind and ministering life. And I am looking at some people today that God has already changed his mind about you once before. He can do it again. Man, he changed his mind. Number six, Elisha and his servants, they're surrounded by the enemy. And Elisha prays. We sang the song Thursday night. I may be surrounded, but I am surrounded by you. The Bible says that Elisha, he had such a prophetic ability that he was thwarting the plans of the enemy king, and the king sends a battalion to surround the city where Elisha is to go and destroy him. And the Bible says that Elisha's servants begin to panic because of it. What are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this? How are we ever going to accomplish this? How, you know, I can hear it today in today's vernacular. How are we going to pay this bill? We didn't expect that to happen. How's our children going to straighten out? What's going to happen here? How are we going to get through this? And the Bible says in 2 Kings 6:17 that Elisha prayed. Everybody say, Elisha prayed. He said, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eye, and he looked, and he saw on the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Some of you may be here today. You think life has got you surrounded. Things aren't looking good. You're feeling down. You're feeling defeated. Can I say to you today that when you pray, you will see beyond what seems to be surrounding you. You will see that God has his own army, his whole holy host of angelic hosts around the enemy that's trying to come against you. And he will lead you out. He will give you hope. He will bless your life. He's got a plan and a purpose that not even the devil in hell can take away from having completed in your life today. Amen. Come on today. And then lastly, this is probably my favorite one in the whole scripture. There's many. I just picked out these seven. The thief on the cross. You know the story. Jesus is suffering. He's bringing salvation to humanity from the beginning to the end of time. And two thieves are hanging next to him. One is ridiculing him, and the other one simply whispers something that goes totally against what religious people think has to be done. I speak to a lot of religious people, and they say, well, there is a way. You've got to do this, one, two, three, before you can be saved. Really? I think Jesus, he shows us a whole way here. Luke 23, verse 42 and 43. Then he said, this is all he said. This is a thief. Some theologians say he was a murderer. He was the worst of the worst of society. He's hanging on the cross. He deserves to die like you and I. And he says to Jesus, he doesn't get into a long liturgical response. He just says to him, Lord, remember me. What a prayer. Can you and I pray that this week? Are we that busy that we can't stop and say three words? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know what, Jesus? He didn't have to ponder. He didn't ask someone to bring the life scrolls of this man, what he's done. Does he deserve to live or does he deserve to die? No. This man prays, Lord, remember me. And Jesus says to him, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. That's when you should clap your hands right now today in God's house. Jesus forgave that man in the final dying moments of his life because he prayed. And he asked God to do something great for him. I want you to close your eyes because I want to pray for you today. For some of you, you'll need to pray. You need to have that same prayer that that man did that day. Lord, remember me. For some of you may have never given your heart and your life to Christ. You need to do that today. It's not a complicated thing. You can just come to him right where you are and say, Jesus, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Hear my prayer today. I believe with all of my heart, a new time is coming in to some of your lives. For some of you have been struggling with circumstances. When I spoke about that drug addiction issue, I felt in my heart, some of you, you're saying, God, I need help. I can't go on like this. And you're right. And he will give you the victory. He will hear your prayer. He's waiting for you just to speak with him. Been crying out for peace in your heart. Some of you have been dealing with depression and the severity of it to such a level that you didn't know where it's going to end. I want to just say to you today, it ends right now. Because God's going to hear your prayer. He's going to answer that. Some of you have been going through this just level of despondency and you don't know where it's going to end up. The Lord just says, I hear your prayer right now. I hear that. Confusion, lack, brokenness, unforgiveness. Somebody hurt you. Somebody assaulted your life. The Lord said, if you'll forgive them, he'll clean that. You have to pray and ask God, Lord, strengthen me. Give me the power to forgive. And let him have his way. I just want those that are going to help me pray. Prayer, folks, would you just come to the altar? I'm going to close just a moment. Your head's bowed and your eyes still closed. Some of you, you've already asked Jesus. You said, Lord, remember me. That's asking him to come into your heart. This morning, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you shall be saved. Some of you, you're facing obstacles in your life. You don't know how to get through. Some of you, you've been walking through a season of loneliness. And the Lord said, it's going to end today. Hallelujah. Some of you have just been dealing with, I just see the word confusion. He's going to help you through that today. I want to pray for you. And then if any of those things I said, you just want somebody to stand with you and pray, I want you, before you leave today, I want you to make your way to the altar. Let one of these folks pray for you, and agree with you, and believe God with you. Spirit of the living God, we come to you today and ask you to do what no human can do. Hear our cry. Hear our prayer today. I pray, Lord, for every one of my brothers and sisters, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, even while I'm praying, you're showing me hearts, fear. What's going to happen? What is my future? Loneliness, abandonment, depression, brokenness, unforgiveness. I pray healing over every one of those. And I pray, Lord, that this week as we come before you, Lord, as we enter into this new season, not only in the natural, but Lord, for some of us, a brand new spiritual season. I pray for a husband and a wife who constantly struggle in their relationship, Lord. This will be a week. This will be a moment. This will be a day. When God, you're going to wipe away all the crud that clouds up the future that you have planned and destined for them. Give them hope, I pray. God, I just want to say thank you. We honor you. We give you praise and all the glory for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said a great amen. 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 I love you. Man, what a good-looking people you are. Listen, before you leave, come on down. You need prayer. Come on down. Let one of these folks pray with you. Go in his grace. I love you. Make sure you tell Bruce and Peggy on the way out. Tell them thank you for serving us today. But if you need prayer before you go, come down before you leave. I love you. Go in his grace today.